are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode 4, Friday, February the 28th, and looking ahead to the weekend. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today, we're going to look ahead to the weekend as the Pistons will be in Phoenix tonight and Sacramento on Sunday. That's on the docket, two of the most electric franchises in the NBA. I kid, because they are kind of the dregs, really, the treadmill of mediocrity or worse with those teams, a couple of forgettable franchises. But we'll also talk about how that might be a little bit of a warning sign for the Pistons. We're also going to size up the Detroit sports scene. It occurred to me as I was following along with the Red Wings game last night, is this the bottom? I don't know, but we'll also pass along what some of the experts are saying about the Detroit Pistons in 2 years and end the week and the month with a hit on the Google voicemail line and give you some college games to watch this weekend as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash. Matt Shook, but the Pistons back in action tonight for this weekend tonight against the Phoenix Suns, Sacramento on Sunday night, 9 o'clock with the Suns tonight, 6 o'clock, little matinee with the Kings on Sunday. I've told you that nationally you need to start paying attention so you can be ready for the playoffs. Nuggets and Clippers tonight at 10:30 on ESPN should probably be better than Pistons Suns. Those two teams are neck and neck for the 2 seed in the Western Conference and the 3 seed as well, 4 seed if you want to throw Utah in there. And the Rockets, too. The Rockets playing really well. Rockets and the Celtics tonight, or Saturday night, is the ABC game. I'll be skipping that one for sure. Rockets-Celtics, not two of my favorite teams to watch. Sunday afternoon, though, 76ers and Clippers with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons both out. So skip that one. But at night on ESPN, that's right, Pistons at 6. But the Lakers and the Pelicans at 8. We'll see if LeBron James is back after missing Thursday night for the Lakers, of course, against Zion Williamson and the Pelicans. Must-see TV there as the Pelicans desperate trying to climb back in to the playoff picture. So when the Pistons bore you on Sunday night, you can switch over and watch that one. Looking around the league on Thursday night, nothing good to report there for Tankathon. The Knicks lose, the Warriors lose, the Kings lose. But looking ahead to the weekend, of course, everyone involved in Tankathon is going to be playing over the weekend at some point. But the Bulls and the Knicks play each other on Sunday, so that's kind of a win-win there for the Pistons. Two teams right on both sides of the Pistons and the Tankathon standings. Warriors and Suns on Sunday also could be a good result. You could kick the Suns out of the Pistons' way for all intents and purposes, already a few games ahead of them in the standings. And the Warriors, an interesting team. They get the return of Steph Curry, reportedly, possibly, according to Steve Kerr on Thursday. Curry could be coming back on Sunday. But again, the Warriors have to win 7 games to tie Detroit, so it's a bit of a pipe dream there, but it would be nice to keep them within shouting distance, at least, down the stretch here this season. This weekend, the Pistons playing two teams that are on the fringes, and that's being a little bit generous, of the Western Conference playoff discussion. Those teams are 4 games and 4.5 games out with Phoenix and Sacramento. So it's almost all she wrote with 23, 24 games left for each of those two teams. A couple of desperate teams, although if we're being honest, they probably know they don't have much of a chance, especially with Sacramento blowing a crucial game on Thursday night. These are two teams that obviously went the tank route over the last few years, intentional or maybe not in Sacramento's case, just incompetence across the board for many years in Sactown. Both these teams have a bunch of young, exciting talent, no doubt about it, but man, how do you climb out of that hole of the very bottom? Even when you draft okay, some misses there for Phoenix. DeAndre Ayton isn't a bust. No way there, but Luka Doncic would look a lot better in that uniform, even Trae Young as well, although a lot of duplication with Devin Booker. But especially in the Western Conference, how do you climb out of that hole? We'll talk about that with the Pistons a little bit later. Pistons 19-41 in that hole right now. They've played 60 games, 22 to go, a seven-game losing streak the season long there. One of those weekends where I'm just looking at the losses piling up, the schedule ahead at home next week, and it wouldn't be so bad to win one. So kind of cure a little bit of the ills, wash away some of the losing and the losing streak, feel good for a day. Don't win both. Don't get crazy. But one win wouldn't be so bad for the Pistons. Looking at the games individually, Friday against Phoenix, the Suns come in relatively healthy. Only Kelly Oubre Jr. and Frank Kaminsky are players of consequence who are out. For the Pistons, Bruce Brown, questionable after he missed the Denver game on Tuesday night with a bad knee. Sekou Doumbouya is probable with a right calf strain. We'll see if that lingers at all on their injury report and on the court the rest of the way. Two-way guys for the Pistons also out tonight. They're not on this West Coast trip. Running out of days for Lewis King and Jordan Bone. And, of course, Derek Walton and Dante Hall, will expect to see them again quite a bit maybe this weekend. Phoenix has won three of their last five. Really, two teams that are coming in playing well. Like I said, desperate to climb back into the playoff race. Phoenix actually beat Utah on the road on Monday night, and then they hung with the Clippers on Wednesday, losing that one there. But DeAndre Ayton playing pretty well this season after the drug suspension earlier in the year. Devin Booker with a deserved replacement all-star performance from him. He's out of Grand Rapids. Ricky Rubio, Mikal Bridges are there as well. Elia Kobo and Javon Carter off the bench, two more guys to keep an eye on. They were in the Luke Kennard trade rumors before the trade deadline came and went without any deal with Phoenix. But obviously, if they were mentioned at one time, maybe the players that the Pistons front office might be interested in acquiring from former Pistons general manager Jeff Bauer. So we know to kind of keep a special eye on those guys. Suns are 7.5-point favorites tonight. Let me repeat that. The Phoenix Suns are 7.5-point favorite. That's maybe all you need to know about where the Pistons are at right now. And then Sunday, Sacramento, a tough stretch for them schedule-wise. They played Oklahoma City on Thursday night, lost a heartbreaker. Back in action tonight at Memphis. So Sunday night will be their third game in four nights. And really, their season is teetering on the line, basically, tonight, do or die against Memphis, who is in the eighth seed right now. Sacramento, up until Thursday night, had won three games in a row. They beat Memphis, the Clippers, and Golden State. But then they lose the game last night against the Thunder, led by 19 in that one, and teetering now after a late nice charge in the season. Could be running out of steam. De'Aaron Fox sat out Thursday night with an abdominal injury, muscle tightness there. We'll see about him. No word on his availability tonight as I record this. Harrison Barnes and Harry Giles, two guys to watch for the Pistons. We talked about one of them with Laz Jackson of Detroit Bad Boys, a sin eater. That would Harrison Barnes could be too big of a contract. 3 years, $60 million left on the deal after this year that he signed last offseason, so a player the Pistons could acquire and hope to pick up assets along with that bad deal. I would think that you would want to acquire Harrison Barnes and also give them a nice asset in terms of a player so you could get a better asset. That's just me. And then Harry Giles is a guy who, for some reason, it's kind of the Sacramento Kings for you. They declined his option going into next season. So a player that they would certainly take a do-over on, and he's a pretty good player. You know, in those types of situations, you get the rookie one-year or first-round players on a four-year deal, but the third and fourth years are options that you have to either decline or pick up before the previous season starts. So those are pretty much no-brainers for good prospects. Luke Kennard, we've seen the Pistons go through it. And also no-brainers for players that are complete busts. Henry Ellenson, we saw that the Pistons declined that one before his final season in a Pistons uniform. Creates an awkward situation and also motivation for the players as well. So if you're a rebuilding team like Sacramento and like the Pistons are now, why turn that down? It doesn't make a lot of sense because they could blossom in that last season for you. Then you're stuck here in not only an awkward situation, but an embarrassing situation. Harry Giles is going to be out there as a free agent. And not only that, but Sacramento, if they wanted to re-sign him, now has restrictions that they can't re-sign him for those numbers. So Harry Giles is gone. He's going to end up probably on another team. And teams like the Pistons and Charlotte and Atlanta, teams with cap room, are going to be giving him a serious look, maybe even a consolation prize if the Pistons lose out on Christian Wood this offseason. So certainly a player to watch there as well. Five different players have led the Sacramento Kings in scoring over the last eight games. So a lot of guys, but as always in Sacramento, kind of a mess. for the Pistons after the weekend, back at home next week for Oklahoma City on Wednesday, Utah on home on Saturday. So a light week ahead of games for the Pistons, a nice little practice time, maybe some development. And then back on the road for the Knicks on Sunday in a key second half of back-to-back for Tankathon on Sunday in New York. And then more road games, 76ers, and then Raptors after that. But is this the bottom for Detroit sports? I was thinking about that watching the Wings on Thursday night. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, if you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Pistons is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Pistons fans just like you. Unlike other podcasts, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Pistons fans in a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising. We look forward to working with you.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we're going to look ahead to some college games this weekend, and we're going to hear from Andy in Ann Arbor as well. But a couple of things I picked up on Thursday watching the Wings last night. Turned it on. They were down 4-1 to the Minnesota Wild. Ended up losing 7-1 right down the street at Little Caesars Arena. The Wings have 34 points this season, and they are the worst in the league by how many points? Think about it. I'm going to let you get your guesses in your head. You know the Wings are bad. You know they're the worst team in the league. You know that the second worst team in the league must also be very bad as well. So how many points? Get that number in your head. Guess what? 18 points. That is the deficit that the Wings are behind the LA Kings. They have 52 points, second to last. The Red Wings have 16 games left. It's almost to the point where you can, like, not win out, but I mean, you can win a lot of games the rest of the season and still be in last by quite a bit. So they're not there that yet where you can win every game, but feel free to root for the Red Wings to win the rest of the way. There is no doubt, no harm in getting some wins for those poor guys. They could use some to end the season. But it got me to thinking about the Detroit sports scene, and we know it's horrific. It goes without saying. But my question today is this the complete bottom? This moment that we're in right now, the Wings are the worst team in the NHL by a lot. The Pistons are trying to lose, and they don't have a whole lot to be excited about with the future, especially with Sekou kind of struggling these last 10 games or so. The Tigers were the worst team in the league last year for the second time in three seasons. The Lions are the freaking Lions. Don't want to spend too much time wasting breath on that franchise. In Lakeland, though, however, you're already kind of like, in terms of bright spots, things to look forward to for the coming seasons, or season in particular, already seeing some bright spots from the Tigers. Riley Green hitting the ball, pitchers showing their stuff time in and time out, some of these Grapefruit League games. The MLB club this year should be vastly improved, and obviously the bar is low when you're comparing it to last season's Tigers. But you take the catcher, the second base and first base position, which was just horrendous last year for the Tigers, and you're getting like MLB type of players in there, you know, real replacement level plus players, not great players, not even good players really, but just kind of a average or slightly above average. You get Crone and Scope kind of added to that MLB infield. Sadly, Austin Romine is like a pretty big upgrade at catcher at this point. Ivan Nova, you add him to the rotation, you know what you're getting there. So again, better times ahead with the Tigers this year, and even some hope for the future, probably at the major league level this year too. The Wings, again, it doesn't get much worse than where they're at right now. You know, hopefully they hit the lottery this summer going forward, although the NHL is not very generous to the top worst team in the league in terms of the top 3-4 picks, and then also top pick in the league. But somehow maybe they get lucky. Maybe you get Alexi Lafreniere at the first pick, left wing out of Quebec. 18 years old, and he's already had his second straight 100-point season in the Quebec Junior Leagues there. Also this year, you know, the last stretch of games here, maybe Mo Sider plays the 9 games this year like Zadina did last year, provide a little bit of excitement. Sounds like he's a possible stud. on the blue line there. Nice first round pick by Steve Eiserman, by all accounts so far. The Lions, will skip them because they're the Lions, but hard to imagine that things get any worse than last year in this offseason in terms of hopelessness. But, you know, maybe you're excited about Tua or Chase Young or Akuda, whoever they end up with the first round. All solid players. And, of course, the dream, maybe that they trade down and still end up with a Derek Brown, Isaiah Simmons. Both good players there. Pistons, well, you know, I'll kind of hold that thought for them, I guess. I was listening to the Dunked On podcast. Not sure, by the way, if that was a play on Locked On. We'll see about that. But a podcast on podcast crime, not sure. But Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue, Nate is on the Locked On podcast with John Hollinger with the Duncan and Hollinger podcast. But this is another podcast that he does outside of the network. Nate and Danny, two guys that really know their stuff about the NBA. Maybe not two guys that you'd necessarily want to hang with, but I do check out their podcasts sometimes, and I did on Thursday because I saw that they were looking ahead to the 21-22 season, so 2 years from now. Not only do they do the All-NBA picks and the conference finalists and talk more in depth about the good teams, but what piqued my interest is I noticed that they were picking the what they think will be the two worst teams in the league 2 seasons from now. Not next season, 2 seasons from now. And both Danny and Nate had a consensus on the worst team in the league 2 years from now. And that was, well, it was Cleveland. It wasn't our favorite team here on Locked On Pistons. But, you know, given that they picked up Andre Drummond, not a lot of hope. Colin Sexton and Darius Garland. Kevin Porter Jr., they talked about as a definite positive and a reason for hope, but just not enough there in terms of young players, in terms of draft capital, in terms of salary cap, where you can kind of wiggle in some reasons to be excited about 2 years from now. But they also had a consensus on the second worst team in the league, and that was your Detroit Pistons. So just a little bit of a smack of reality there. That's how these prospects are kind of valued around the league. Both the guys said that Sekou has a chance to be pretty good, but it's only a chance. Danny sung the praises of Luke Kennard being a pretty good offensive player. But teams that have a few nice young pieces sometimes don't really go anywhere. I think we're getting a glimpse of that with Sacramento and Phoenix this weekend. Nate also went on to say that there is a world where the Pistons add some free agents this summer or next and become halfway decent, for better or worse. I think that's for worse. But I just thought of this as a little bit of an expectations check. Yesterday on the show, I talked about how certainly the Pistons should be bad next year, get a high pick in 2021. But starting 2 years from now, you might climb to be like a 30-win team this season and maybe have that 10-15 pick in 2022. But these guys are suggesting that the pain is only beginning, that the Pistons will not only be dregs next year, but top two worst team in the league the year after that. So dregs at least 2 seasons from now, and maybe that wouldn't be so bad, given we're talking about 2022, Amani Bates is out there. So that's where we're at with all of this, and it's hard to climb out of that hole. You have to hit on these picks and fortify that with talent in other ways. It's a dangerous world that the Pistons are entering in here. Just wanted to throw that warning sign to you, and we'll see if they can come out in the coming years. But it only furthers my belief that the Pistons need to be drafting and signing and extending tough-minded players. Fight through this time, improve, compete, play defense every night. But this is the warning. You could be looking at a bottom five team in the league, not just for 1 year, but if done wrong, for several years ahead. But up next, we're going to hear from Andy Ann Arbor after the break, and then we're also going to talk about the college games that you need to be watching this weekend. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
Hey, Matt, this is Andy from Ann Arbor calling. With regard to the state of the Pistons, currently I am mostly fine with what they have done and what they are doing. I thought that it was long past time for us to move on from the Reggie Jackson, Andre Drummond era. Nothing against those guys. It was more just a bad marriage that needed to end, and I'm glad to see that it did. Mostly in an amicable way, or at least as amicable as these things can be. My greatest fear is that their Pistons are going to take all the money that they're going to have under the salary cap and blow it on someone like Fred VanVleet, a guy that I really, really like. I think Fred VanVleet is awesome. I think that he is a really great player that's about to get what he deserves as far as his paycheck is concerned. I don't want the Pistons to be that team that pays him, simply because I want them committed to this rebuild. It makes no sense for them to, quote-unquote, tank for a draft that is widely regarded to be the worst draft in about 20 years, only to then spend on free agents and try and get back to where they were before, which is that mediocre middle that's never going to go anywhere. So I want them to continue on with this rebuild, stay committed to it. Next season, yeah, it's going to be tough. But I think if they do it the right way, they can turn this thing around in another year and then be on the track to maybe doing what Milwaukee did. Anyway, that's my opinion. Have a great day.
All right, a big thanks to Andy Ann Arbor for chiming in, and we're looking for the thoughts from you guys as well out there. 810-666-1546. Agreed with him on most of those fronts, especially about this offseason as well. What do you think the state of the Pistons is? Call in, leave your name and where you live, and tell us what you think about the state of the Pistons. Also, if you have thoughts on the draft or some favorite memories of Pistons past that you want to relive this spring, 810-666-1546. But college basketball-wise this weekend, if you want to get away from the NBA, two games on Saturday to watch for draft prospects. Both of these games are SEC games. Number 15, Auburn, and number 8, Kentucky at 3:45 on Saturday on CBS. Of course, the big name is Isaac Okoro of Auburn, getting Jimmy Butler comparisons for 24-4. Auburn, he missed three games recently, and the Tigers lost two of them. Should tell you some things you need to know about Isaac Okoro there, but he is back. He should be getting healthier as time goes on. A defensive dynamo who has offensive potential as well, getting 14 points a game, shooting 52% from the field. A wing to watch and a guy I really like if the Pistons get into that 6-10 range of the draft, maybe even 5 or 4. We'll see how these guys move up the draft boards as time goes on. Sam Vecenie released his top 100 on Friday, so check that one out on The Athletic as well. He's going to be going up against Tyrese Maxey, probably not head-to-head, certainly, but on the same court as the Kentucky combo guard, not a pure point guard, unlike some of these other points in the draft like Killian Hayes. But that could be something the Pistons are looking for, along with Luke Kennard and Bruce Brown, guys that could be secondary ball handlers. Maybe you don't need a completely ball-dominant guard, someone who could play off of it as well. Tyrese Maxey could be one of those guys, depending on where you look, more of a mid-lottery guy, like I said, 5-10 range, maybe even late lottery for some cases. Could be in the mix if the Pistons fall to 6, 7, 8, 9 or so. But watch the defense with Tyrese Maxey, allegedly very good. The Stepien loves him a lot, by the way, has him in their first tier of guys. One of four in that first tier with Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, and Cole Anthony. So if you like the Stepien's analysis, Tyrese Maxey is certainly a guy to keep an eye on. Later in the draft, you got Kentucky's Emmanuel Quickley, who's moving up the boards quickly. Pardon the pun, scoring quite a bit lately. Ashton Hagans in the backcourt as well. Point guard, kind of co-SEC Defensive Player of the Year last year. Sophomore, early second-round guy there as well in the backcourt with Maxey. Nick Richards is a front-court guy, second-round guy to watch. Also, but the other SEC game is Arkansas at Georgia. That's a 6 p.m. Saturday game on the SEC Network. Running out of chances to see Anthony Edwards, as this is not a tournament team at Georgia. Still number one on most NBA draft boards. Not a lot around him, obviously. Had a big game the other night for the 14-14 Bulldogs. 36 points in an overtime loss this week to South Carolina. Reason why I'm interested in watching Edwards here is he's going up against another NBA prospect in 6'5 wing, Isaiah Joe from Arkansas. He is a gunner, shooting up 10.5 three-pointers a game. So will Anthony Edwards compete and catch up defensively when he's on him? I'm interested to see how that goes, in addition to watching Joe as a possible second-round prospect. Pistons don't have a second-round pick, but you can trade in for those if you like a guy in there. Like locally for college basketball this weekend, Michigan State is at Maryland, 8 p.m. Saturday. Big game for the Spartans, of course. Jalen Smith of Maryland is a 6'10 sophomore, good defensive player, rising up the boards as well. Could be a late first-round pick. Xavier Tillman, Michigan State, Sam Vecenie moved him up to number 25 on his big board. Maybe he's a guy who sneaks into the first round. kind of an up and down season, a junior, but if he's a first rounder, I would advise that he leaves if he asks me, which I doubt he does. But he's married with two kids now, so getting that money could be a consideration for Xavier Tillman. Teammates Cassius Winston and Aaron Henry, talking about second rounders there. Although, you never know. Teams could really fall in love with the compete level of Cassius Winston, the college intangible things that we love about him as a college point guard. But you got to believe that Aaron Henry is back for his junior season next year, although you never know with some of these guys. Also locally, Michigan at Ohio State, the big rivalry, Sunday at 4 o'clock. Not a lot here NBA-wise. Isaiah Livers, good news for Michigan is his injuries this year probably mean he's likely back next season with the good freshman coming in as well. But Michigan or Ohio State, just another decent college team. But they've got Caleb Wesson, his older brother Andre, on Ohio State as well. Those guys have been a thorn in the sides of Big Ten teams for years. But Caleb is the younger one. He's a junior, 6'10", but he's a second-round guy. We'll see how he looks against John Teske, who, by the way, not really a draftable guy right now, but could be the key to Michigan being an early exit, or if he steps it up, a team that could get to the second weekend, or maybe beyond this year for Juwan Howard. But that's to watch this. What to watch this weekend on the college game. We like to do that here in these next few weeks of the college season. And, yeah, good times. But anyway, this is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Sam, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening this month. We're about to, if we have a good end of the week and the good end of the weekend here Saturday, probably going to set a record for the most downloaded month in Locked On Pistons history. Really appreciate you guys doing that. And thanks for that. So that'll do it for us. Talk to you guys on Monday.